I thank God that we have, you know, for years and years and years, we have decided, Dion sometime in the past decided that we would do our consecration to Our Lady during this time leading up to the Annunciation. And of course, most of the time it falls right in Lent, which is gives us a time of not only giving things up, which is something good, you know, self-denial is also good, but to do something that gets us closer to the Lord and to Our Lady. And so I'm going to give you a little introduction to what we're going to be doing and go from there, and if you have questions, of course. And let me see. I was just going to say, when we have the whole group that is looking at us, I would love for the people on Zoom to turn on your cameras so we can actually see you. Doesn't it make a difference when you can see their faces? Yes. Everybody here is going like, yes, yes, okay. So please do so if you would. Okay. Okay, so as an introduction to this, of course, we're going to be using the Fruit of the Womb book by Father Boniface Hicks. And it's really a different way, but very blessed way of doing the total consecration. Truly, it follows the movements of the original 33 days to consecration that de Montfort put in place. But it brings it now into a deeper, more intimate look at what it is to truly entrust ourselves to the Blessed Mother so that we can entrust ourselves completely to Jesus. So just to start out, I'm going to give, you know, what is total consecration? And it truly is a radical surrender of oneself into the life of Jesus Christ. And it is a total surrender of oneself to Our Lady so that one might belong totally without reservation to Jesus Christ. And it's really trying to mimic ultimately the radical surrender of the Blessed Mother to our Lord. And it requires the 33 days of prayer and self-denial. And like we said, it's so appropriate for the Lenten season. I wanted to tell you a little bit about St. Louis de Montfort because, you know, he's the one that began this whole movement that was then adopted by Pope John Paul II, and his term of totus tuus, his motto, you know, came from St. Louis de Montfort. He was known, St. Louis was known as a French missionary and preacher. He was born in Montfort in Brittany, France in 1673, and he died in 1716. He was educated by the Jesuits and the Sulpicians, and he was ordained a diocesan priest in 1700. So he really passed away 16 years after he became a priest, so he didn't have a very long life, did he? He had a tremendous zeal for the renewal of the church through the proclamation of the gospel. And at one point he joined the Third Order Dominicans and then the Order of Preachers with permission to preach the rosary. He really had a major devotion to Our Lady and understood more than most the place, the role of the Blessed Mother in salvation history and in our times or in his times now. He had a fiery style of preaching and he preached against Jansenism. Which got him expelled from several dioceses in France because France, most of the French took up the Jansenism, really heresy, to the point that he got poisoned once and he recovered, but he was weakened by that whole experience physically. So his sermons and missions raised all kinds of complaints. So he went to Rome and appealed to the Pope Clement XI, who appointed him missionary, apostolic title of missionary, and the authority that goes with that, and so that he was able to continue to preach in spite of the fact that everybody else was trying to get him to not do that and censor him. He founded the Missionaries of the Company of Mary for priests and brothers, and the daughters of divine wisdom who cared for the poor and the sick. And he inspired the brothers of Saint Gabriel who educated youth. His spirituality included, and he has, there's a volume of all his works called God Alone. You know, that was his spirituality, God alone. He mentions it like 150 times in his books. He, of course, the incarnation of the Word was to him the central reality, right? The incarnation, the Lord coming. And he has this little book that we read way back in Houston. It was, Something Eternal Wisdom. Anyway, it was this thick, but it was so incredibly deep. You had to read it several times. But in it, he really paints the picture of how incredible it is that God Almighty, who created the heavens and the earth and everything, would give up all of this majesty and glory to come and save us and to come and be one of us so that he could raise us up to him. And it's just a beautiful rendition if you ever get a chance to, it's really a beautiful book. And so again, the centrality of his theology really and his spirituality was the incarnation. And a love of the Blessed Virgin Mary. He had a fidelity to the cross, and he was packed with missionary zeal, just telling everyone to, turn up the fire and go out and preach. And he also was known for veneration of the angels. Okay, and he was really many years ahead of Second Vatican II, because he said, this is now 1700s, right? He's saying all are called to holiness. And that's what Vatican II was all about, right? All are called to holiness. Prior to that, everybody thought, well, only the priests and the nuns are going to go, be holy and go to heaven, right? And he was saying, no, the entire laity. And he says, chosen soul, it is certain that growth in the holiness of God is your vocation. Amen? Does that sound like Marian servants? Does that sound like Vatican II? Does that sound like Christi Fideli Laici and Pope John Paul II? You can see where some of the inspiration, right, for the Vatican II folks came. And of all things, he recommended Holy Communion every day. And back then, that was unheard of. That was totally unheard of. I mean, maybe once a week, there was so many stringent fasting rules as well before communion, but he recommended daily Holy Communion. And in True Devotion, he prophesied in the book that he wrote, True Devotion, he prophesied that the army of souls consecrated to Mary will be her instrument in defeating the devil and his Antichrist. And he said, as Satan gains power in the world, so much more shall the new Eve triumph over him and crush his head. Amen. 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 And his understanding of the role of Mary was really way before his time. I mean, he truly understood the power that the Lord had given, the graces he had given to Mary. And his cause for to be Doctor of the Church for St. Louis de Montfort is currently being pursued. So hopefully soon they will call him Doctor of the Church. And there's a lot of people that would say, are we placing too much emphasis on Mary? Well, you can't place too much emphasis on Mary. she's the instrument that the Father selected, handpicked, handmade for his son. I mean, how can you put too much emphasis, And and you take a look at the change that it made, that devotion to Mary made in the life of Pope John Paul II. And what a great pope he was, right? And if we can all be as saintly as Pope John Paul II, that's not a bad thing. I'll take that, So, the other, when we had our gala or benefit dinner, I love what Sally Kazin said. She was talking about the paintings that she does of the Blessed Mother, and she said, that that no one loved Jesus more than Mary. So you can't go wrong, you know? You can't go wrong. And Jesus loved Mary, right? Loved his mother, and he gives his mother to us. I don't know about you, but most of my friends, you know, they loved my mother, and I loved that they loved my mother, right? And, you know, Jesus is no different. So understanding the total consecration, really, what is it? Well, it's a form of slavery to Mary. Now, that word today has a different connotation, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. But it's a form of slavery to Mary. That's what St. Louis de Montfort used to call it. We do nothing without her. We choose to not have a will apart from Mary's. De Montfort invites us to wear a chain to symbolize our bond to Mary. How many of you have your little chain from doing it in the past? Anybody have your bracelets or your anklets? Okay. We share everything with Mary, including our prayers, our intentions, our actions, our merits. We become totally dependent on Mary. We receive everything from her and share everything with her. And by the way, this part I'm taking from the first part, I used Father Gillespie's book, and this is all from Father Boniface's book, so I take credit for none of it, okay? They're brilliant men. And again, the connotation of slavery sounds radical and scary, but Father Boniface calls it actually a merciful gift from heaven and a sweet path of salvation. It teaches us that we have a sweet, loving, perfect mother who wants to live in intense relationship with us. And we have to accept this invitation to find happiness and healing. And Father Boniface, in his introduction, takes us through some of the things that we deal with on a day-to-day basis as human beings. All came from original sin. I mean, they're all the consequences. And it's a fearful grasping after independence, a search for security that we can control. But at the end of the day, we even though we try to do things without God and be independent, at the end of the day, we can't, because God's the one who created us, right? And he made us for relationship with him and with others. But yes, indeed, we did kind of rupture or sever that relationship through Adam and Eve, and I'd hate to have been Adam and Eve. You know, they're the ones that always get named as the bad guys, but they were, you know, they fell for the temptations of the enemy. But truly, our relationships became ruptured with God when we tried to become gods ourselves, and that hasn't stopped. Have you noticed that? That hasn't stopped. We try to be our own God, you know, and make our own decisions apart from God. And then, you know, in our efforts to achieve immortality, we earn love through our accomplishments and control our lives through our own power, okay? And it's all about, at the end of the day, it's all about, you know, in the garden, it was not trusting God, was it? It was, they didn't trust God, and the enemy came in and said, you know, did the Lord tell you, did God tell you not to eat of any of these trees? And starts putting a little doubt, right? And he said, no, it's just this one tree. And then he says, well, you know, that's because you'd become as wise as he is, and that's, he doesn't want you to do that, right? So the lie comes in, right? I mean, you know, there's a deacon that I know that says, don't talk to the serpent or the snake. He says, don't talk to the snake, because the moment you open that door to have a little conversation with him, any temptation that he gives you, we just need to shut the door. We have nothing to say to him. He has nothing to say to us. That's true, okay? But he broke that trust. He started putting that seed of lack of trust in our lives. So, and at the end of the day, living in relationship requires trust. And in our human experience, trust has been broken so many times. I mean, I'm sure anybody here never had a problem with trust. I mean, that no one ever disappointed them or broke trust or relationship. You know, all of us have experienced that. So it's part of our fallen nature. And our, you know, our minds are really affected by that. Our psyches are affected by this broken trust. And, you know, God didn't leave us in this mess that we put ourselves in, right? He comes to our rescue. And he truly reveals himself through Jesus as this Father who is trustworthy, that can be trusted. So he sends Jesus to adopt us into a family and to bring us home to the Father. And, you know, Mary Denise was talking about the family of, you know, God the Father, the Blessed Mother, and Mary, but, I mean, and Jesus. But in this book, Father Boniface also says that the family that Jesus brought us into is family, a relationship with Mary and with Joseph, who was the handpicked human face of the Father to Jesus, right? And so not only do we have that relationship with the Father in heaven, but also we can call on St. Joseph and learn from him as well. And Father Boniface calls this the adventure of salvation, right? When Jesus comes and he adopts us and brings us into his family, not only earthly family, but then with his heavenly Father. And so the whole adventure of salvation that Father Boniface speaks about is to relearn trust and dependence, and that Jesus does in fact adopt us into his holy family. And Mary can fill any gaps that were left in us by our birth mother's limitations. I mean, all the mothers here can say, you know, I'm sure we can all say, we weren't perfect. We tried, but we weren't perfect, right? And Mary can fill those gaps. She will never fail us or forsake us. She will never break our trust. And she teaches us to trust again and helps to heal our wounds. And that is so important, because part of growing in holiness, you know, we think of holiness, oh, we got to pray, but a lot of it is healing, right? Getting to know the real image of God, the Father, and then getting to know our own, you know, our own image, who we truly are and our own identity. So that's part of, a lot of it is healing our wounds so we can be free to be holy. And there's a new book out by Matt Lozano that is called Free to Be Holy. I'm starting to read it, but I haven't gotten too far yet, but I'm going to read it. But it's true, right? We have to be healed. Let me see, I already told you that other part. So then, understanding the total consecration, it's truly a choice to be a child like Jesus, choosing to be a child of Mary and Joseph, to ponder how helpless Jesus was, right? We need to think about that. I mean, basically what this consecration makes us do is to be just like Jesus. He was totally dependent on Mary and Joseph in his early life, right? I mean, think of him going to Egypt. I mean, he had no idea, you know, his parents, you know, took him to save him from Herod, but he was totally dependent on food, on sustenance, on nurturing. So he really was dependent in every way on his parents. And I'm going to read you a quote from de Montfort that we have here. It says, Mary received from God a unique dominion over souls, enabling her to nourish them and make them more and more godlike. St. Augustine went so far as to say that even in this world, all the elect are enclosed in the womb of Mary, and that their real birthday is when this good mother brings them forth to eternal life. Isn't that beautiful? Consequently, just as an infant draws all its nourishment from its mother, who gives according to its needs, so the elect draw their spiritual nourishment and all their strength from Mary. Okay. So we need to let ourselves be held in the most perfect embrace of the most loving of mothers in the womb. And there is no greater slavery, by the way, than being in the womb, because you're totally dependent, right? And that's what really is meant. It's not slavery, you know, take out the whip, and I mean, that's not what we're talking about. So we are totally helpless, totally dependent on the mother. And the baby has no will other than the mother's, right? In the womb, the mother wants to go shopping, the kid goes shopping. You know, they want to go to the doctor, they go to the doctor, right? So it's just to think about that our dependence on Mary very much like being in the womb. So we need to replace in our minds that word of slavery and reframe it in the consecration as the perfect embrace and safe protection a mother provides for an infant in the womb, right? That's really what this slavery is all about. It's just allowing and being dependent completely on the Blessed Mother. So what's the process of the preparation? There's two movements. The first part is emptying ourselves of the spirit of the world, and we take 12 days to do that. We try to recognize the spirit of the world and its effects on our lives. And goodness gracious, anybody watch any part of the Grammys? My husband had recorded it because Billy Joel was going to be singing his first song, for those of you that remember who Billy Joel was. That was his first record coming out after 30 years. So we thought, we want to watch it. So he recorded it because I didn't have time to watch. I start turning this thing on. And I have to tell you, I had to fast forward almost every performance in the whole thing. It was so dark and demonic. I mean, there was maybe three performances in a three-hour program that you could actually watch and not think you have to go to confession the next day or have nightmares at night. It was incredible. And this is our culture. This is what people, I mean, I didn't even know some of the artists, the names. I mean, I had no idea. Of course, I'm getting old, right? But our kids do, and they listen to this stuff, and they see this stuff. I mean, and we get affected by it as well, you know? We're not immune to it, right? So we just need to recognize those things that are in the world that we need to get rid of, that we need to fight against, okay? And then, so that's the first movement, emptying ourselves of the spirit of the world. That's for 12 days. And then the second part, anytime that you get rid of something and you take something out of your life, you got to replace it with something else. And that is the Holy Spirit and Jesus, right? That's where we start. The second movement is the three steps that we take, one each week, to be filled with the Spirit of Jesus, okay? And we to gain a greater knowledge of ourselves and what tendencies of sin and we have, and acquire the spirit of humility, of mutual self-revelation between you and God, right? Getting to know who He is and who we truly are. And we get the next part is a more profound knowledge of the Blessed Mother, opening our lives to her presence, and then a more profound knowledge of Jesus Christ. So that we can have a strong relationship and be having that zeal that St. Louis de Montfort had for mission. You know, he had a heart for mission, and that's where we need to be. So we will go into self-awareness or self-knowledge. Then we have knowledge of Mary, and then we have knowledge of Jesus. So those are the overall segments of the consecration. And then we will have daily prayer and self-denial. You know, we have to deny ourselves some of these things, you know, whether it's TV, whether it's too much shopping. I mean, we each need to know what is it that really the enemy gets us through, and decide that that is no longer who we are, and that's no longer what we're going to partake of. So daily prayer will consist of 20 to 30 minutes every day. Father Boniface says 10 minutes, but I don't know how you can get through the whole thing and reflect in 10 minutes. There's no way, but he said 10 minutes. But I'm thinking at least 20 to 30 minutes every day. Time to read the teaching that he provides every day, the time to reflect on it, and to recite some prayers to ask for God's grace in the process. And the suggested prayers are at the end of the book. Alphabetically in the appendix, okay? So, by the way, so do you have the books with you? Okay. All right, so, you know, you can see that there's going to be, he has beginning the consecration, emptying ourselves of the spirit of the world, okay? And then he has a very brief introduction to that, and he goes right into day one. Dependence on God, okay? And he goes through 12 days in that. Then the next section, again, will be self-knowledge, and you'll see, again, it'll have the same format, an introduction, and then the days, the 7 days that we will be praying on that. So it'll follow for four segments. And then at the end, in the appendix, you have to go to the very end, right? Appendix B, page 187, and that's where all the prayers that he will tell you to pray in each day, and he has it at the bottom of each day. You go back there and you look alphabetically for the prayers that he is recommending, okay? All right. And I know that Mary Sue put out a cheat sheet, so to speak, that tells us every day of the consecration and what we're supposed to be reading and praying on, okay? Then the self-sacrifice that we need to just offer up, you know, it's really to turn away from the spirit of the world. So it could be fasting from media, Facebook, you know, TV, whatever it may be, fasting from self-indulgence, you know, overeating, over shopping, over everything, right? How many of you have problems with that? From time to time, right? And things that are substitutes for prayer. At the end of the day, that's really what they are. They're substitutes for prayer. Instead of spending time with God and talking to him or reading something spiritual, we, you know, choose to go to the ice cream bucket and eat that or whatever it may be, okay? And then we also make resolutions. What are the resolutions we're gonna make once we start, the Lord starts showing us the areas that we need to reform, and we need to make resolutions of what we will do. And then we want you to, of course, all of us to do confession prior to making the act of consecration. You will have gone through, you know, 33 days of being with the Lord, thinking about these things, and it's a perfect time to do a consecration. Actually, there is, I think, day 8 of the first 12 days of emptying ourselves from the world. It's recommended that you do a confession there. And of course, for Marian servants, we know that we go to confession every month. So it'll be whenever the Lord, ultimately, it's whenever the Lord moves you that says, okay, you're ready to make a good confession now, right? And then we will have on March 22nd, a Friday, we will have a 4 p.m. Mass where we will make our formal act of consecration during Mass. And it's not the end, you know, people think of it as, okay, good, we finished, we're done. Actually, it's when you start to live a new life, okay? You don't just forget everything you did for 33 days, you now try to live it day by day. So it's living that. And Father Boniface really makes a good point, says that Mary's womb is a paradise. It's the new paradise. She's the new Eve, right? So this is the new paradise. And it's especially fashioned according to each one's weaknesses, a place in which we are only expected to be a little child. That's where we need to go, okay? And since God is everywhere, and there's no place where God can be more present to his creature and more sympathetic to human weakness than in Mary. So for this purpose, the Lord came from heaven to live in the womb of Mary, to be born from woman, and we will be like a twin. We will be living in the womb with Jesus in Mary, okay? And I think this is a really beautiful thought in page 8 from the secret, something that Father Boniface brings up from the secret of Mary, the book that de Montfort wrote, the last sentence, he says, everywhere else he is the bread of the strong and the bread of angels, but living in Mary, he is the bread of children. Amen, amen. So with that, any questions as to what we're gonna be doing for the next four Tuesdays and then March 22nd for Mass? Yes.
The tendency is to turn the pages and to move on, to move on, to move on, to move on. I'm visual, you may have noticed. The paintings are exquisitely inspirational. Take time take time to digest the artwork, because it's from God. It's beautiful. It really is.
Yeah. Yeah, the paintings that are in this book, they're just absolutely beautiful. And just staring at one of them would give you plenty of reflection material, yes. Any other questions or comments? How about Zoom? Anybody on Zoom?
I have a comment. I have a comment, Alicia. I thank you for your presentation. I just put on our chat, when Regis Martin taught the Christology course, he said this sentence, the Marian ministry preceded the Petrine ministry. I went, what? So Jesus was within Mary. He wouldn't have come into being without her, yes. All 30 years, all Marian ministry. And Mary was the one who formed him in family. Peter was the person who formed the church in Christianity. So they say, how could we put too much emphasis on Mary? She's the whole enchilada. So Marian ministry precedes the Petrine ministry.
That's a good point. Yeah, the Marian ministry precedes the Petrine ministry. And you know, where was the Blessed Mother when the church was born at Pentecost? She was right there.
Amen.
She was the only one that really knew the coming of the Holy Spirit, right? Of all of them that were sitting there, she was the one that could say, this is it, right? She had had the experience, and now in more full experience, to be the mother of the church. Yeah. Any other questions or comments? Okay. All right. So, you know, I'm pretty excited about doing this on a personal basis. It was like, I need this right now, you know? Sometimes, you know, when I watch any TV, even the news, I mean, it's like I feel like I've been slimed, you know? I just like, it's just, so this is a really good way of being able to get back to the basics of the love of God and the love of Mary and who we are. So, all right, thank you.